Thank you. So how's everyone doing today? So that, I've got to admit, you know, the keynote, I haven't been really in the Xamarin kind of space for a while. I was kind of one of the original. How many of you have watched like my Mono Touch and Mono for Android courses on Pluralsight? Like, okay, a couple, but that was like my first introduction to Xamarin way back when. And so I haven't really looked as much at it lately as I've been focusing on doing the kind of thing that I'm going to talk about today, which is going to be a little bit of a weird presentation, by the way, because as you notice, there's no slides. There's not going to be any slides. And I'll explain why in a little bit here. But yeah, seeing the keynote today, I've seen how much Xamarin has changed, and it's just amazing. Now I want to go and write some code, you know. So I'm probably going to be bouncing around. I don't know, if I'm down here, can you guys see me all right? Good. Okay. So so it's kind of interesting. As I was thinking about this talk, right, I was trying to figure out, you know, I read, how many of you have read my book, Soft Skills? Or seen? Okay, so I was going to give you kind of just the basic, you know, some of the top soft skills from that book. And then I kept on thinking in my mind, well, you know, what can I do? How can I give you more than that? And what is the overarching theme? Like, what is the big idea, the big picture, kind of the big thing that I could get you to take away from it that underlies all of those soft skills? Because there's a lot of people that know, you know, soft skills, know how to talk to people or learn things or how to manage their career, but they don't do it, right? And so I was thinking about why is this that such a small percentage of people actually do something that they actually take action. And so what I came up with for the underlying sort of theme, the big idea, is this idea that we only grow when we are doing things that make us uncomfortable. So now you might see why there's no slides today. I'm pretty comfortable presenting with slides, right? Because I click, I look at the slide myself, and I say, okay, I'm supposed to talk about that slide. This is the first time I've been nervous to talk in like years. And it's great. You know, I wanted to force myself to do something that made me feel uncomfortable because that's how you grow. And every stage of my career, every stage of my life, the moments of growth have come from doing something that made me feel uncomfortable. So I'm going to make you feel a little bit uncomfortable today. Before I get into kind of the soft skills, I want to do a little bit of an exercise and kind of get your blood pumping a little bit here. So but before I do that, because I know, see, this is something that I've learned, is that if I'm going to ask you to do something and make you feel uncomfortable, then I have to be willing to go there first. And that's you know, in the years that I've been running Simple Programmer, I've learned that you go where you want people to go, you do it first, and then, you know, in the developer world, we call it eating our own dog food, right? But you got to do that first. So I've got a question. I want someone, you know, nothing is off limits here, although let's try and stay in the code of conduct. ask me an embarrassing question. I want you to raise your hand, right? Because I need to feel a little bit more uncomfortable. So if you've got an embarrassing question, like I said, the more embarrassing, the better, you know, raise your hand. Oh, there we go. Okay. Boxers or briefs? So I actually have merino wool underwear that are boxers now. So it's for travel. Like you can just like rinse them in the sink. I don't know if that embarrasses me too much, but I might have cried a little bit. So. Okay, so I mean, you know, anyone's got something really like, just like, I don't think someone will answer that. Okay, here we go. What's your biggest regret in life so far? My biggest regret in life so far? Man, that's a good one. What is my biggest regret? You know what it is, actually? It's being, and I'm going to actually talk about this a little bit, is being such a chicken for such a long time. Because, I mean, when I was afraid to fly on airplanes as an adult. Okay, and I'm jumping a little ahead of myself, but here we go. So you know, how many of you are familiar with the Dumbo ride at Disney World? Okay, as an adult, As an adult, like, seriously, like, within the last 5 years, I was afraid to ride the Dumbo ride. It goes, like, 6 feet in the air. Okay, I think I think we're at a sufficient level where now I can ask you to do something that's going to make you feel uncomfortable. So stand up. Everyone, stand up. This is fun. If you've never done this before, like, I'm going to give you an opportunity in your life that you might not have had before. I love to do this, and you don't get many opportunities to do this. So what we're going to do, and I don't know what's going to happen with this mic, but we'll just see, is on the count of three, we're going to scream. And I don't mean we're just going to be like, yeah! No. We're going to, like, let out everything that you have inside of you as powerful as possible. You're just going to yell with reckless abandon. Don't worry. Everyone's doing it in the room, right? Hopefully. So you don't have to worry, right? There's very few times in life. And I want you to really do this because right now you should feel a little bit uncomfortable. You're a little bit like, you know, butterflies in your stomach. I'm not sure if I'm really going to fully commit to this thing. Fully commit to this thing, right? You'll feel better about yourself at the end of the day if you do this. So I'm going to actually, like, do it first so that to make it a little bit even more approachable for you. So I'm just going to, on the count of three, one, two, three. Ah! I bet you didn't think I had that in me. All right, so now we're going to do it all together, right? That's like full out. Turn it up to 11. Ready? One, two, three. Ah! Man, that was good. I didn't think you guys were going to do it. That's awesome. All right, we're going to do it again. Let's do it again. Let's get it amped up. This time we're going to, like, jump around and we're going to scream. All right? So on the count of three, we're going to jump and we're going to scream and we're going to keep it going. One, two, three. Let's scare that guy. All right. Give yourself a hand. That was good. There's some guts here. So I've got one other last thing. I'm gonna jump a little bit into, I'm gonna skip over what I kind of plan. Oh shoot, the timer's not going. Well, it's easy when you start at 11 o'clock, you're done when you're at 12. So I want you to do something, you know, before you leave here today, which is, you know, this conference is great. You're gonna learn a lot of good technical stuff. If you've been to the training, you've probably already learned a lot, and that's great. But we all know that you don't need to go to a conference to learn things. Because you can just, I mean, you can watch on the web, you can read a book, right? There's plenty of online training today. The reason why you're at this conference is because of the people around. Like, look around yourself, and that's the real value. I'm gonna lose my voice from screaming, that's great. But that's the real value. It's gonna be the connections that you make here. It's not gonna be necessarily what you learn. I'm not saying that you're not gonna learn good stuff. You are. But so my assignment for you today is we've got lunch after this. And if you want to stick around, I'll be talking, you know, because I'm sure I'm not going to get through everything I plan. But, you know, I could talk for 3 hours on what I've got planned. But what I want you to do is before you leave this room, reach out and talk to two people and just introduce yourself. Two people you don't know. Because I'm telling you, I've been to a lot of conferences. I've been to a lot of events. The biggest value that you're going to get is gonna be the people that you meet, those connections that you make. And it's hard to do. I know it's hard, but I'm giving you permission. That's why I gave you permission to yell, right? You don't need my permission, but it makes it easier for you. But so, because this is a homework assignment, see, context is the way to motivate yourself. If I switch the context on something, I can get you to do something that you might not have done before. But now I'm telling you that this is a homework assignment and you need to do it before you leave this room. So now it's easy to approach someone and say, hey, I'm Joe, you know, this is what I do. So just two people, that's all that I ask, and you'll benefit from that. Okay, so let's get into the actual soft skills here. So again, the underlying current really behind all of this is this idea of doing things that make you feel uncomfortable, and that's how you grow. And so I was thinking about this a lot, and you know, what is the most important soft skill that I think a software developer could possibly have? And really, I think this is the most important skill that anyone can have. And you'll find that a lot of what I'm talking about doesn't just apply to software developers. But you know, I love software developers, so that's why I talk to software developers. But so this skill is basically the ability to learn how to learn, self-education. And the reason why this makes you feel uncomfortable generally is because it's real easy to, or it's easier, to have a roadmap set out for you, to enroll in a college course, to read a book cover to cover, right? Those things are a little bit easier than learning on your own. Because learning on your own is, it's failure prone. You don't know what to do. You don't know what direction to go. You might not be doing it right, right? And a lot of people stop short there. I know that in this room, we probably have a lot of self-learners in here just because of the qualification. You know, I think a lot of Xamarin developers, a lot of people interested here are probably, and even software developers in general, are a little bit more self-learners. A lot of software developers are self-taught. But sometimes we don't even take that far enough, even if we are self-taught. So it's a really important skill, I think, that benefits you in your life. Because, you know, if you can teach yourself, what can't you do, right? The sky is the limit. If you can teach yourself, if you can learn this one skill, if you can get over that fear, if you can get over that discomfort of not having the chart, the path laid out for you. You know, I think a lot of people look at life and they want it to be this roadmap. And they want to have a chart laid out for them and say, okay, I'm going to go from here to here to here. And one of the things that I've discovered in life is that life isn't like that at all. What life really is like is it's like you're blindfolded and you grope your way through, you know, as you stumble and you hit walls and roadblocks and you fail your way to success. And that's what learning on your own is like, because you don't know what you're supposed to do. You figure it out. So I'm going to give you a few steps on how to do this, how to learn on your own, that I cover a little bit in my book. But before I do that, I do want to tell you about kind of this myth that's been going on for a while, which is, you know, how many of you have heard of different learning styles, like the audio, visual? So I was reading a study recently that said that whole thing was actually a myth, that it's true that people have preferences for how they learn. Some people prefer audio or visual or action, but the actual truth is we all learn best in one method, and that method is by doing. And you know, as developers, I'm sure I don't have to tell you that, but how many of you still do things like read books cover to cover? Like I do, I still fall into that. But you know, okay. Here's a question. How many of you have ever read like the reference section of a book just to, like for completion's sake? Like you, it doesn't apply to you. You don't need it, right? But you're just, you know. I remember reading like the JavaScript reference manual or whatever it was, and I remember like reading through the server functions, and I'm like, I'm never using this. Why am I reading this? It's not a very efficient method to learn. So I'm going to give you kind of a more efficient method to learn to learn on your own here. And it is based on doing. So the process is pretty simple. You know, I have a 10-step process. If you want it, you can Google 10 steps to learn. Think quickly. You can find my course. But I'm not here to sell you my course. I'm going to just give you the best part of it, which is, and it's really simple at its core. Basically, it's this. First of all, you start off figuring out what is the scope of what you're trying to learn. A lot of people try to learn huge topics. You know, if I say I'm going to try and learn physics, well, that's big. What do you quantum physics? How about astrophysics, right? Spring mechanics. There's a huge part, or physics is huge. So you got to narrow the scope down, and that's where it starts. Is you got to figure out what it is that you actually want to learn. And then another question is why? Because see, a lot of times we can be tempted to just like watch a bunch of Pluralsight courses, binge watch them, and read a bunch of books, and we don't know why we're learning something. We should always be learning in order to be able to do something, right? Because you know,
that if you've heard that quote, the great aim of education is not knowledge but action, from Herbert Spencer. It basically means that. It's like when we learn something, we need to have some reason for doing it. So once we have that, once we have a scope and we've made it small enough and we know exactly what it is we're going to learn, then the next step really is to get multiple resources. And then really from there, you know, I'm going to skip ahead to what I think is core important here, which is we learn enough to get started and then we jump right in. And that's where it's uncomfortable, because most of us don't want to do something, you know, myself included, until I know what I'm supposed to do. But if you really want to dig deep and learn, you've got to be able to do that. So what I mean by this is that, you know, let's take Xamarin for instance. You learn enough to fire up Xamarin Studio and do Hello World. And then from there, you play around. You drag buttons, you drop them on there, you double click, you see if you can hook up events. You play around. You don't read through the manual first. You start playing with it. And then what happens there, it's really interesting. Most of us learn best by playing. I got a bit of an embarrassing story. So I used to play when I was a kid a game called Magic the Gathering. All right, and so maybe a little bit as an adult, maybe. and anyway, there's like 5,000 cards, something, 3,000, I don't know. There's like thousands of cards, maybe 3,000. Yeah, there's like thousands of cards. At one point, I could name every single card, what it cost to cast, who the artist was. I mean, and just about any Magic player could do that. And it's not like I sat down and tried to memorize 5,000 cards, right? It's because I was playing. It's because when you play, when you're experimenting, when you're having fun, that's when you learn the best. That's when you retain the best. That's when you gain understanding. So you play. Once you're done playing, or while you're playing, an interesting thing will happen. You'll have questions. You'll say, I wonder how this works, or why does it work this way, or how's this? And then you go back, and this is the step that really cinches it all together, is you go back and you answer your own questions. You go back and you say, now you go and you read the manual. Now you go and you go through the tutorials, and you answer those questions that you had. And that's when you gain understanding, because there's really a difference between knowledge and understanding. And you don't gain understanding until you do something and you answer your own questions. Then there's one final step here to learning, to self-educating, at least that I've found effective for doing it quickly, and that's to teach. Because the thing is, like, you never really learn something deeply. You never gain like a true deep understanding until you've taught it to someone else. Because when you learn something, you think you have it all connected. And when you have to reorganize that information and present it to someone else, you find all the gaps that you didn't know that you had in that knowledge. And then you have to fill in those gaps. And so teaching is a really important part. You know, you can do this in a lot of ways. You know, you can write a blog post. You can do YouTube videos, tutorials. I mean, you can talk to your cat. Sometimes I do that. It doesn't really matter, as long as you're getting the information out and reorganizing the thought. So that's really the first soft skill here, is this idea of, and I'll give you one more tip here. On learning and self-education, and it almost seems contrary to what I've said before, but you should always be reading. You know, last year I think I read 55 books, because I always have an audiobook going in my head whenever I'm running or walking or lifting weights or doing something like that or driving, and you know it's sort of like free. It's like your free education. So you should always be doing that. You should always have some kind of book that you're reading. Because it adds up over time, you know. Okay, now we're going to get into a little bit more exciting stuff. So that skill is really, I think it's really the most important soft skill that you can have. It's just not the most exciting one. So that's why, you know, we had a high energy level, now we don't, but maybe we're going to come back to it. So the second skill that I've found, again, this is one that applies to life in general, not just software developers, not just software development, is mastering your mind. And I'm going to spend a lot of time on this one because there's a lot to this. And that's a really broad quasi-statement I made about mastering your mind. What does that mean? I'm going to give you a few examples that I think are ways to do this that I find most effective. So the first one has to do with your limiting beliefs. So all of us have what are called limiting beliefs. We believe a certain thing about ourselves, about what we're capable of, about the place in life and in our careers where we should be. And those beliefs are not necessarily true. And these beliefs, it's really hard to see these beliefs. But when you do, and you understand that they're not true, that you've just placed these limitations on yourself, you can learn to overcome them. And overcoming your limiting beliefs is probably one of the best things that you can do in your life. It's a continual process, but it's one of the best things that you can do in your life. So I'll tell you a little story about myself. So as growing up, I was a very shy, unathletic, lazy, scared person. And one day, I don't know why, maybe it was the universe said, "Hey, John, it's time to wake up." I don't know. But one day I remember waking up in the morning and I was getting ready for school. And a thought occurred to me. And it was basically this question. It was, why not you? Because, up to that point, I had this identity of myself. I believed that I was this thing, and that was just the hand that I was dealt in life. I'm just shy. I'm never going to be great. I'll just be average. Other people can do wrestling and track and all that, and that's not me. But I woke up that morning, and I thought to myself, I said, you know what? Why not? Why not you? What is different? What would happen if you just started pretending like you were the person that you wanted to be? What would happen? So I did that. And it didn't come all at once. It didn't come right away. And it's still a continual process. But there became this weird point where what I was pretending to be became reality. I acted the role for such a long time and believed it that it became reality. And some people say, oh, no, be who you are. That's faking it. No, it's faking it till you make it. And a lot of you here, how many of you have applied for a job that you weren't qualified for, but you kind of thought maybe you could wing it, right? That's faking it till you make it. That's like, hey, I have enough confidence in myself that I'm just going to do this thing and I'll figure it out as I go. And then what ends up happening when you take that job you weren't qualified for? I mean, maybe you can crash and burn, but most of the time you rise to the occasion. And pretty soon you are that. Like, how many of you never thought you'd be a senior software developer? Now you are, or you're running your own business or whatever it is. You eventually become that thing. So I've got a powerful sort of paradigm that I use that can help you. And this is not easy, right? And this is, again, going with that underlying theme of things that make you uncomfortable, it's pretty dang uncomfortable to act differently than you were the day before. It's pretty uncomfortable to change your style, to change how you talk, to change these things, to play that role. But if you're not willing to be uncomfortable, you can't change. If you're going to let everyone and what their preconceived notion of you is and what your personal limits are define you, and you're never willing to step out there and take that risk, then you're never going to change, and you're going to be stuck. So one of the exercises that I challenge you to think about that can help you to overcome this is to act. It's what I call acting as if. So what would happen if you acted as if you were already the person you wanted to be? What would happen if you act as if you already achieved what you were trying to achieve? What would happen if you acted as if you've already done this 1,000 times? Right? It's a powerful concept, and it can change your life. Because if you act that way, you will eventually become that thing. So anyway, I think that's really an important thing to figure out, is how to overcome those limiting beliefs. But there's another part of mastering your mind that I think is equally as important, which is learning to overcome your fears. And this one really makes people uncomfortable. It made me really uncomfortable. I told you a little bit about my story. I'll tell you a little bit more. So fear almost took over my life. You know, as a child, I was scared of just about everything. Many times I ran into my car and locked myself in the car when I went to the dentist or doctor if they told me I was going to get shot or my tooth drilled. I slept with the lights on. I was afraid that aliens were going to kidnap me from my bed. Yes. As an adult, a lot of these fears continued with me. They took a greater hold of my life. At one point, I became terrified of flying on airplanes. And I would dread flying an airplane for 3 months before I had to go on a trip. I was afraid to talk to people. I was afraid to do just about anything. And roller coasters, forget roller coasters. That was scary. I wasn't going to do that. One day, I was at work, and I felt like I couldn't breathe. You know, up to that time, I had been just avoiding the stuff that scares me. I don't need to do that. I don't need to ride a roller coaster. I don't need to fly an airplane. I just drive. And I couldn't escape this one because I felt like I couldn't breathe. I felt like I was dying. I kept coughing. I kept feeling I couldn't get enough air in my lungs. I didn't know it at the time, but I was having a panic attack. That's kind of embarrassing, but I'm happy to share it with you. It was debilitating. For about 2 weeks, I couldn't function. I thought I was going to lose my job. I thought I was going to lose my marriage. I thought I was going to lose my life. I considered just losing my life. But then something happened. I don't know the video, but I was trying everything. You know, my strategy for getting rid of the panic attacks was to basically ignore them. Try to pretend like what was happening wasn't happening. You know, distract myself. How many of you have ever distracted yourself when you're afraid, right? That's a common thing that we do. But didn't work. But I watched this video this one day when I was at the end of my rope. And this guy said, to overcome a panic attack, what you need to do is you need to just feel all of the fear. Just don't try to distract yourself. Don't try to hide from it. Just say, bring it on. Give me intensity 10. Just take it all in. Don't try to escape it. Just feel it as strongly as you can. And that worked almost instantly for me. All of a sudden, I was cured from this. And I said, I've got something here. I've got a formula. And progressively, over the last few years, you know, since this has happened, probably, I guess, 5 to 10 years here, I've overcome one fear after another after another. Because, see, here's the thing. Like, I had this strategy. I thought that what would happen was that fear would eventually go away and I'd become brave. So once the fear goes away, then I'll do these things. But fear doesn't do that. It doesn't go away. What ends up happening is if you try to appease fear, fear won't be appeased. It takes more and more and more of your life, and it will make your life very small. But so I'm proud to say now that I had no problem flying here. I've flown probably like 50 flights in the last year. I am excited to go to Universal tonight and ride some roller coasters. I'm thinking about going to Busch Gardens, rent a car and hitting whatever the wildest ride that they have. Just last month, I rode on like about 10 roller coasters at Magic Mountain in California, Six Flags. The craziest stuff that they have. It works, right? And I feel better. My life is expanded. So the reason why I'm telling you this is because we've all got fears. You know, some of us have physical fears. Some of us have mental fears. A lot of us are afraid to talk to people. And it's kind of weird because some of those fears have really interesting arbitrage situations because there's no downside. There's nothing that bad that could happen. I mean, here's an example today. When I decided to do this talk and said I'm going to just do this without slides and kind of trying to make myself feel uncomfortable, I said, well, what's the worst that could happen? The worst that could happen is I could totally bomb this. You could laugh at me. You could say, man, that John guy, man, I don't know why they had him speak at Evolve. Like, that was just the worst bomb ever. He had people yell and stuff. That doesn't matter. It's not going to hurt me in the long run. But the best thing that could happen, and maybe that would be the best thing that could happen, is I would overcome that fear, that I'd experience that experience, that I'd grow a little bit because I'm willing to do something that's uncomfortable. So, what fears do you have? And why are they holding you back? You know, are you afraid of failure? Are you afraid, like I was, of just about everything? Afraid to talk to people? I get a lot of guys on my YouTube channel, they're like, I got this email, it's like, dude, I'm 21, I've never had a girlfriend. Like, go talk to girls! Simple. Solve that problem. But fear can ruin your life. I'll give you one tip here for fearing failure, because I know this is a big one. Especially, how many of you have dreams of starting your own business? Raise your hand. How many of you actually own your own business? Wow, okay, good. So that's how you know you need soft skills. When you figured out technical skills are not enough. But if you're afraid of failure, you know, being an entrepreneur myself, this is a constant fear, because no one tells you what to do. You gotta kind of figure this out. There's this phrase that I think can help you, which is trusting the process. And what it means to trust the process is that you know that if you keep on going, you're going to get there. You know that if you suck at drawing, if you try and draw, I was teaching my daughter how to draw butterflies, like, draw this 100 times. I guarantee you at the end of 100 times, it will look good. So sometimes when you fear failure, you can just forget about the results and just trust the process. Just trust that if you do the thing that you know should lead you to the end, the results don't matter, you're going to get there. So let's move on to another part of the mental game, I think, here. I'm gonna spend a lot of time on the mental side because I think this is something I didn't cover as much in the soft skills book, but it's been something that I've discovered is really important. So this one's tough. This one's also uncomfortable. It's mental toughness. A lot of us are mentally weak. I'm not saying that because I haven't been there. I'm still there. I'm still growing. But developing mental toughness has been one of the best things that I've done for my career. Because, you know, before I had developed any degree of mental toughness, I would give up really easily. You know, I call it the closet of broken dreams, right? How many of you have like a yellow belt and soccer cleats and a guitar that you don't know how to play, right? Yeah. Why is that? I'll tell you why. Because we kind of have this belief, and we can get caught up as developers in technology with the same belief. We have this belief that we should only do things when we feel like it and we feel motivated. And that's why you picked up the guitar. That's why you signed up for the karate class. You know, that's why you started developing that app. That's why you started writing that book that you never finished, right? How many people write 10 pages of a book? Because it seems exciting at first, and you feel like you're supposed to do it. And then when you don't feel motivated anymore, you say, well, you know what? That must not be the thing for me, because I'm not feeling it anymore. That must not be my passion in life. But the successful people, the really successful people, they figure out a way, they develop the mental toughness to be able to move on and keep going, even though they don't feel motivated. A lot of people stop as soon as their motivation drops, they're done. But everything that you love right now, you eventually will hate. That love and hate are cyclic. They're connected. Everything, you know, when I first got out on my own and I quit my job, I was like, oh, this is awesome. I love this. This is my dream, my life. I can do whatever I want. And then it became a job again. what the hell? Are you serious? How is this possible? How could you dread working for yourself? But you do. Because no matter how good something seems, it eventually gets old and eventually becomes work. And if someone pays you for it, I guarantee you'll eventually, at some day, not every day, but someday you'll hate it. And when you do, when you really want to find success, it's if you have the mental toughness, if you're willing to say, I don't need to be motivated. I can self-motivate, but even sometimes there's a limit to that, right? You can only psych yourself up so much. And then you got to push on. And you got to realize that when you hit these walls, if you can bust through the wall on the other side, that's where all the rewards are. That's where no one is. By the way, the competition is sparse, right? At the beginning of the marathon, everyone is lined up at the starting line. And there's a lot of competition, but when you get to like mile 20, there's a big distance between people. There's a lot of people that just gave up. There's a lot of people that started walking. But if you keep on running, right, you're going to get there. And you're not going to have much competition. So that's a really important thing, I think, in life.
I tried to do one thing that I hate every single day. If you know me, if you watch my YouTube videos, you know that I'm kind of crazy. I fast until 5 o'clock every day. I've been doing that for about 2 years. Now, part of it is because I'm crazy and I have this whole, I could give you like physiological fitness reasons why I do that. But one of the reasons why I do it is just because it keeps me mentally sharp. It keeps me mentally tough. It's because, you know what? If you don't eat until 5 every day, a lot of other crap in your life seems really easy. It's true. Try it. You won't be able to do any other crap in your life for about 2 weeks, but after that phase and you adjust to it, other things will seem easy. You got to do things that you don't like, not because you got to do them, but because you want to stay mentally tough enough so that you can face the challenges in life. Because those challenges, when you overcome those challenges, that's where the sweet spot is. That's where the gold is. Every single thing that I've accomplished in life, right before it came drudgery. Always. So I've got a real good definition of self-discipline that that my friend, a YouTube guy, he goes by Big Brandon Carter. He's a really cool guy. You wouldn't think, you know, I was staying with him one night at this like YouTube conference thing, and we're comparing Audible book lists. Like you wouldn't, this guy's a pretty big guy. He talks in slang a lot. You wouldn't think this guy's well read, but he is well read. He reads a lot of books. But he said something that really stuck with me. He said his definition of self-discipline is the best I've ever found. And it goes like this. He says, self-discipline is doing what you're supposed to do, whether you feel like it or not. And it's so simple. That is it. And it's important to develop that skill. You know, I had on here a skill of being comfortable with being uncomfortable. I think I've already kind of beat that horse to death here. These are uncomfortable things. Not everyone is going to do that. A lot of people are going to say, not for me. That's fine. But those of you that are still in the room, you maybe realize that this is true. This is important in your life. Being able to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. Not seeking rest all the time and comfort, but realizing that life, every day when you wake up, the battle begins anew. You're never going to get there. You're always going to be going. You're always going to be fighting, but that's okay. Once you resign yourself to that fate and realize it's not a bad thing, but that's actually what gives you life, you can become comfortable with the uncomfortable. I got one more thing about the mental game here, which is to stop comparing yourself to others. It doesn't make any sense. No matter how good you become, no matter how successful you are, how much money you make, how good looking you are, how fit you are, how whatever it is, how good of a Xamarin developer that you are or become, there's going to be someone better. You're never going to be as the best. There's always someone better, someone richer, someone
better looking, someone, whatever it is. So if you're constantly comparing yourself to someone else, especially to people's highlight reels, because a lot of people don't like to air their dirty laundry. A lot of people won't be as candid and upfront as I'm trying to be with you today. And they'll just tell you about all the success that they've had. You won't see their failures. You won't see their fears. It's not going to do any good. But I'll tell you who you should compare yourself to. Yourself. To the older version of yourself. Compare yourself to who you were yesterday. Compare yourself to who you were last week, last month, last year. That's the comparison you want to make. You know, I do like 15 YouTube videos a week now. I've been doing YouTube for like 4 years or so. And I sometimes look at one of my older YouTube videos, even a year ago, and I laugh because I'm like, man, John, you are such an idiot. I can't believe you thought that. I can't believe you sounded like that. That's a good thing. You should look back at yourself 1 year ago and you should say, what a fool. Because if you do, that means you're growing. If you look back at yourself a year ago and you say, man, I had it all then. Oh, that's bad. You're going the wrong direction. You need to turn around. So stop comparing yourself to others and instead compare yourself to yourself, but the older version of yourself. That's the fair comparison. That's the only fair comparison. And that's how you know you're growing and progressing. Forget what everyone else is doing, how much they're accomplishing, how much money they're making, how successful they are. You can't compete with that. It doesn't even make, it's apples to oranges. Apples to apples is you versus who you used to be. That's what you want. Now, in order to do this, you've got to be able to look in the mirror and honestly look in the mirror. There's two strategies we use to avoid this. One of them is we bury our head in the sand. We don't pay attention to reality. The second one is that we lie to ourselves. And the thing is, like, I could give you a map, and I could show you exactly where you need to go on this map. But if you don't know where you started, you don't know where you are right now, it doesn't matter how good or accurate that map is, you're not gonna get there. So you gotta quit lying to yourself. It's hard. It's hard to face the truth. It's hard to stand naked in the mirror and look at yourself and say, this is reality. But if you're willing to do that, then you can grow. So many of us are stuck because we're unwilling to face the reality. However the chips fell, that's how they fell. It is what it is right now. I've got a lot of investor friends that are always like, oh, I bought the stock at X and I'm waiting for it to get to there. I'm like, when the market closes at the end of the day, your losses are realized, whether you want to realize it or not. It's done. Play it where it lands. And I'll leave you with one last piece of that, which is just to realize that, look, this is your life right now. It's happening. This isn't a dress rehearsal. Right now, in this moment, so many people live in the past and the future. They say, man, when I reach this, I told myself this story. I said, when I reach this level of income, when I reach this title, job title, then I'll start living my life. Then I'll really live my life. Or someday I'll do this. Someday I'll conquer my fears. Someday I'll do this. If you're taking notes right now, don't take notes on what I'm saying. Take notes on what you're going to do. What action are you going to take today when you leave this room that's going to change your life? Because this is your life. There isn't a dress rehearsal. So many people are waiting to live their lives. You can die waiting to live your life. So start living it now. I'll get into the third skill. I'm going to be short on this one because I want to get into the fourth skill. But this third skill is maximizing your productivity. So honestly, I think if you have the first two skills, if you can teach yourself and you're able to master the mental game, get through those mental barriers, I don't think you'll automatically have the last three skills that I'm going to tell you about today. But I think productivity is really important because it's a multiplier to what you do. And a lot of developers are not very productive. I used to be very very unproductive. So I'm just gonna give you some quick tips here on this side of how you can be more productive. So the first one is this kind of rule that I have now, which is every time you sit down at your desk, you should know exactly what you're going to do, right? Because if you don't know exactly what you're gonna do, I'll tell you what you're gonna do. You're gonna type in facebook.com. In fact, it'll autocomplete because you're lazy and you'll just hit enter. Are you gonna go Twitter? Are you gonna check your email? And then boom, an hour is gonna go by and nothing's gonna happen. But if you know exactly what you're supposed to do when you sit at your desk every single time, if you make that a rule that you cannot sit your butt down, or those of you that have standing desks, touch the mouse, until you know exactly what it is you're supposed to do and how you'll know when that's done, if you make that a rule, that will instantly improve your productivity, I promise you. One thing that I did, if you don't know my kind of backstory, I had what I call the year of hell. I did 36 Pluralsight courses in 1 year. These are like 5-hour courses, and I did programming language. I learned Dart and Go and Lua, and turned around and taught those courses. And I ran 3 times a week and lifted 3 times a week, and I wrote a book, and I did 100 hours of consulting. Wrote 52 blog posts and did about 40 YouTube videos as well as 3 podcasts, like produced them weekly. That was a hell week. I got a lot done that week, I mean that year. How did I do it? I had a system in place, and I'm gonna tell you the basics of the system. It's so simple, because I tried every system in existence. The only way I could get that much done is having a real good system. So it's basically like this. How many of you have used like Trello? Right? You're familiar with like Kanban boards. So I have this Kanban board. I use Kanban Flow, or you could use Trello or whatever. I just have days of the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And every week, when I start my week, I use what's called the Pomodoro technique. You familiar with the Pomodoro? Okay, so it's real simple. 25 minutes, you set a timer, and you focus on one task and only one task, and you take a 5-minute break. It seems so simple that I initially threw it out. But what I do is I take that Pomodoro technique and I combine it with this weekly planning. And I put cards on the board, and each card is either 1, 2, or 3 Pomodoros. If it's bigger than that, it needs to be broken down. And I know that I can get about 10 Pomodoros done in a day. And if you're doing the math, that's like 5 hours of work. And if you can get more than that done, honestly, a focused work, I'd be surprised, like on a continual basis. It's hard to work for 5 hours. I don't have time to get into like the whole dynamics of that, but that's hard. You'll feel it. Most of the time, 8 is a pretty dang good goal. Anyway, I take the cards and I basically say 10 today, 10 tomorrow, 10 you know every day of the week, and I plan them all out and I schedule all the cards in there. And I put in the things that I have to do on a continual basis, like my quota type of things first. And then every day I reevaluate. And I get all of that stuff done almost every week. It's amazing. There's a few times that something slips. But because I've planned it to that detail and I've set aside the time to focus, it seems real simple. But try this and see what happens. It will really enhance your productivity. Because what you're doing is you're committing to getting things done and you're forcing yourself to actually estimate the time and to actually be accountable for it. And one thing you do have to do is every single day you got to go and you got to reevaluate and say, okay, because so many, right, you know, how many times you have this list of like 50 to-do items for the day, and you know you're not even going to get 3 of them done. So you reevaluate the situation every day and say, okay, I've got, you know, how many things slotted for today, and let me move the cards around. So that's productivity. There's a few other things. I'm going to skip over a little bit here, but if I could give you one like shortcut to increasing your productivity, it's stop watching TV. Just stop. I know I've heard every excuse. Everyone says, John, I hate that you tell me not to watch TV. I stopped watching TV about 8 years ago. I don't know where I would fit in the time now. It's such a waste of your life. Not just your time, but your life. There's nothing good on. It's just a waste. I when I was doing my soft skills book, I was looking up studies to see how much hours do people watch TV. 30 to 40 hours a week on average. When you complain, you say, hey, John, how am I going to start a business? I have a wife and kids, you know. You must not have a wife and kids. Well, okay, 30 to 40 hours a week that you're watching TV, that's a second job. You have it. Oh, I can't work out. Not my fault. Yes, it is your fault. Get the time back. It's your life. It's your time. You know, when you add up the tally of your life and you're like, and it's like 10,000 hours watching TV, that's going to hurt. That sucks. I've been there though, right? I mean, I'm only telling you because I've been there. All right. So we're going to jump to, we'll get to number four here. So the fourth skill I think is important for software developers is treating your career like a business. I do a whole talk on this. I've got a course on how to market yourself as a software developer. But again, I'm going to try and give you the most important parts of this, which is basically this. It's a mindset shift, right? You switch from thinking of yourself as an employee. So how many of you work for a company? You're like a W2U, right? I mean, most of us do, right? That's most developers. But that doesn't mean that you don't own a business. Right, so you can make this mindset shift in your career, and this is a shift that's helped a lot of developers that I've worked with to really increase their earning a lot, which is this. You're instead of thinking of yourself as an employee of a company, think of yourself as a business that has one customer, and that customer just happens to be your current employer. And that mental shift sort of changes everything. Because now instead of waiting to get your paycheck and just, you know, clocking in and doing your work, you're thinking about things that a business thinks about, like marketing, like what is your brand, right? If you don't have a personal brand, if you don't have some kind of a brand, if you're a business and you didn't have a brand, you wouldn't have anything, right? Imagine McDonald's just like hodgepodge burger restaurants with no branding and no consistency. It wouldn't work. But a lot of us treat our careers like that. We're just like, okay, I'll just find the next job. If you start thinking like a business, you got to think about some things like marketing yourself. It's not popular among software developers because marketers are saying, I get the Viagra emails. Embarrassing story. Once I was like, oh, I'm going to sign up and see. Maybe I'll get some Viagra. And I did. And now they call me like every week. My wife's like, who's that? I'm like, I'm not telling you. She's like, it's the Viagra people again. You shouldn't have ordered that fake Viagra. You know, I make stupid mistakes. But the thing is, like, marketing is important. And here's how I market, right? This is a good way to market. You give away 90% of what you do for free, and you charge for 10% of it. You market by creating value for people, right? If I create enough value for people, if I give them free stuff that's valuable, they're going to spread your word. They're going to spread your message. They're going to spread your name to other people. You don't have to buy ads and do all that. And I mean, there's such a thing as outbound marketing, but I'm talking about inbound marketing as a software developer in your career. And the benefit, you might be wondering, well, how does this even apply to me? Well, the benefit is that you can actually get in a position, and I'm not kidding you, because this happened to me, and I have probably 100 stories from developers that subscribe to my blog and YouTube and email list of developers that had companies come and specifically call them and hunt them out and offer them a job. And if you've ever been in the negotiating table at a job, right? How many of you negotiated your salary? Good. A lot of people don't do that. But if you've ever been at the negotiating table and you've applied for a job, you don't have much leverage. You're the one who applied. But if a company comes to you and says, hey, we want to hire you for the job, and they've scouted you out, you've got a lot of leverage. My best paying jobs as an employee have come from those positions, where I was making an astronomical figure compared to the other developers because they came after me, because I did inbound marketing. So that's what, you know, the benefit of treating your career like a business really is. And you can do that. Here's how to start. You know, I don't have the time to go into all the details. Like I said, if you want to check out more, you can always check out my blog at simpleprogrammer.com, and I've got a course on this. But if you want to start today, actually, just if you go to simpleprogrammer.com, there will be an annoying little pop over that comes up, and it says, click here to get my free email course on how to create a blog to boost your career. And sign up for that, because I'm giving you advice on how to create an actual blog. I'll give you step by step. But that's where I would start, is start by creating a blog. Every single developer in this room could create a blog. How many of you have a blog right now? Okay, keep your hand up if you've written a post in the last month. How about the last week? How about if you've written a post once a week, at least for the last year? All right, Brian. You are the outlier developer in the room. Okay, that's your bar. If you do that, see how no one else has their hand raised? You will be the 1%. You will get the inbound marketing that everyone else is not getting. I know it seems unbelievable, but it will happen. I have stories of people that doubled their hourly rate from like $70 an hour to $140 an hour or more. When I first started doing this, I was billing $300. I got to the point of billing $300 an hour. Now if someone wants me to write code, I bill $500 an hour. I don't get many takers at that, but I did at $300. You'd be surprised. And it was because of my blog. It was because of inbound marketing. I don't do consulting that way anymore, but if you do, you need to have a blog. I'll tell you one more thing. I think that, and before I get off of this topic, there's other ways to market yourself, right? So you got to get a brand, right? You got to build your brand. And you got to get a message that you're going to put out there. But then where do you put it out? You can do blogging. There's so many opportunities today. You can do YouTube. You can do tutorials on YouTube. That's a great source. So that's why I'm investing heavily in that. I'm doing 15 videos a week because I'm getting so much traffic. I'm getting more traffic from YouTube than I am from my blog now. And my blog's gotten over like 4 million visitors. You can do podcasts. It's so easy today to start your own podcast, or you can be on someone's podcast. It's so easy to get on podcasts. The first podcast I was on was like on Hansel Minutes. I just emailed Scott Hanselman. I was like, hey, this is a topic that I think would be interesting to your audience. This is why I'm qualified to speak on it. And I am like this most super dependable guy that you will ever meet. I have my own audio equipment, and I will do what I say. And he was like, sure, yeah, definitely. I'm trying to fill those slots. Right? You can create your own podcast. You can write a book. So easy to self-publish today. You can write a magazine article. There's a lot of ways that you can get out there and get your name out there. And it's going to have a huge impact on your career. Totally changed my life by doing that. So, you know, I'd really encourage you to do that. And one last piece on that is to specialize. Make sure that you have something that's unique. I don't have time to go into depth on that. I have a lot of videos and articles on that. So I'm going to give you the last soft skill, which I've conveniently prepared to give you in 2 minutes, which is this, because I don't need to actually talk to you about this, because someone else has said it better than I can, and everything I would tell you would be just a repeat of that. The last soft skill is the one that most people only know of, which is people skills, dealing with people, communicating with people. And there's only one thing you need to do for this. Go and buy and read Dale Carnegie's book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. It is the single best book on people skills. I read that book twice a year. It changed my life. I've read it probably 20 times by now. If you haven't read that book, read it. I don't want to waste your time I'd rather spend the time on things that I could give you a unique perspective on rather than repeating that. If I had time, I could tell you kind of the summary of the book. I've got some notes on that, but read that book. It will make a big difference in your life. So I think that's how to win friends and influence people. So I'm out of time. I fast until 5 every day. I don't know if they'll let me keep the mic on or not. It doesn't matter. I'll hang around here if you have questions. I am here for one reason, for you, right? So if I can help you in any way, I'll be here for the next half an hour to an hour while everyone's eating lunch, and I'm happy to continue talking, to answer questions, whatever you want to do. So that's all I have for my official presentation.